Today I'm talking to Gerald Avery. Gerald, when did you come to this area?
June 1922.
Whereabouts did you come from, what part of the country?
We were in Portland 4 years, and before that we lived in a logging camp, Chapman, out in Scappoose, 9 miles west of Scappoose.
Was your dad a logger? Or?
He was a master mechanic. He ran the machine shop that repaired the locomotives and stuff. Mm-hmm. They had five locomotives, and that's when they logged with the old donkey engine, the deckers, you know, to load, and they used these shay locomotives, and pistons go up and down, you know,
yeah,
to climb the hills.
Yeah.
And we were there 7 years, and we moved to Portland because when two of us got old enough to go to high school, we moved to Portland because there was no high school there, you know.
Which high school did you go to?
James John, St. John's.
Well, down in St. John's.
That's gone now. Mm-hmm. Burnt down. Yeah, our class only had 40 members there.
And what year did you graduate from high school?
1921. Mm-hmm. And there was 40 in the class, and at our 50th reunion, we had over half the class there, over 20 people. Mm-hmm. Graduated. Mm-hmm. So.
When you came out here, do you remember how much land there was? Did you, your folks had?
We bought 15 acres there on that side of the road. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And that long chicken house was there. That's what Dad always thought he wanted to raise chickens. And he saw that chicken house and he bought the ranch.
That's all they ever did with the property then, was raise chickens?
Well, he put the first filbert orchard in here.
Oh.
In this area. In early, well, the mid-20s. He was going to have that for his old age pension insurance, you know.
That was his annuity, huh?
Yeah. I run the chicken ranch, and he run the filbert orchard. Hmm. But he wasn't interested in breeding chickens or anything, and I kind of grew into that.
Did you have any brothers or sisters that lived here then?
Yeah, one sister and two brothers when we moved out here. There were six of them in that old house. But my sister died pretty young, you know. I think she was in her 40s.
Mm-hmm. Did you always run the chicken ranch, or did you work in Portland or someplace?
I've never worked for anybody. Mm-hmm. When I went to high school, I worked in the grocery store summers and after school, but after that, I was self-employed. When we came out here, I started the chickens.
Was it your brother that worked for the paper company? Wasn't it Avery used to work for one of the paper companies in Portland?
No. My oldest brother worked for M. Sellers in Portland, a wholesale house, sold all household stuff, you know, crockery and...
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where I saw him.
Electric appliances and things.
Yeah, I think that's where I knew him.
Yeah. He was there until he retired. Until they sold out, mm-hmm. actually. And then he went to work for, I think, Newberry's for a few years.
Mm-hmm. Let's get back to this chicken business. When you started out, about how many chickens did you have?
Well, we started out with, I think Dad bought 500 chickens
mm-hmm.
at that time. And somebody in Portland had a little hatchery. And my younger brother Dad bought this place because he wanted to get my younger brother out of town. He wasn't getting along in Portland.
What kind of chickens were they?
Well, there were some, when Dad bought this place, there were some brown leghorns on it. And they were the wildest things I've ever seen. But I never kept those at all. We bought leghorns, and after a couple of years, Dad worked out to pay for the ranch, see, so somebody had to take care of things, so I stayed home and did it. And then I wasn't interested in just raising chickens, so I bought a couple incubators, and then I got up to about, I think I had six of those old, where you had to turn eggs by hand, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Had that in put them up there in the barn. There was a big cellar in there, a potato cellar is what it actually had been. And on top was stored the hay and stuff in the barn. And that's where I had the incubators. And in 19, I got interested in breeding then, and built trap nests, kept family records, you know, and all that stuff. And in 1932, the old barn burned. There went my incubator. That was, we'd store the hay up there. It was spontaneous combustion. See, it was too green or something.
Yeah.
And it was on September when we had these dry east winds, you know. And that was a real hot fire, man. Now that went. I never even thought to get the horse out of the barn, so the horse went too. Didn't let. But Sarnan's, well, it was a big barn right on the corner, right on the line there, Sarnan's. And then I had to rebuild something. So my uncle built the garage and a building there for incubators, and I didn't have anything really. Well, I did. I saved two of those incubators. Lawrence, my younger brother, and I carried those out somehow. And then I wanted to buy an incubator, and of course, you know, in Depression days, what things were like. In 33.
Yeah.
So it was a secondhand incubator up Wood River for $500, and I didn't have $500. So I went to the U.S. Bank and asked them to loan $500. I think they'd close the banks. He said, sure, we got lots of money. He said, you're worth it. And I just signed a note and went up and bought the incubator and got back in business. And from there it just grew.
Where did you market most of your chickens?
I sold them. Most of them went locally. When I say locally, I mean in the area within 30 miles of here, probably.
Most of them go to the other hatcheries, or?
Well, we were at the poultryman that was just raising them for eggs, you see. And then, because we didn't get selling the breeding stock until, gosh, I don't know when. At that time, I just bought chickens and bought some roosters and mated them for a couple of years, you know.
Yeah.
Until I got trap nesting, getting records, and then we used our own. We eventually...
Most all your stock then went to egg production, not to meat.
Nothing went to meat.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. You remember any of your other neighbors besides Sarnan when you moved out here?
Well, I didn't know anybody until we moved here, I mean.
No.
Of course, I got acquainted with Nyberg because I did, you know, this is all farm down from here to there.
Yeah.
And Nyberg had a big farm, but old Doc Smith and somebody else farmed. And in the summer, you know, I'd work on the hay balers and the stacking grain and stuff like that. That's where I got acquainted with them.
Did you ever know Reverend Blake?
No, I didn't. I didn't know Blake.
He lives around the corner down here, about a mile, you know.
Well, Blake Road up
there. Yeah, know, that's what it's named after.
Yeah. I remember, but I'm not personally.
Mm-hmm.
I got acquainted with Joe Byram's, by the way, of course. I know when our well went dry one time, we got had to haul water from up there. He had a good drilled well there.
Yeah. How were the roads out here then?
There weren't any.
Just gravel or dirt?
Dirt road.
Dirt road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the summer they used a Ford delivering mail, and in the winter they used horse and buggy.
Were you on a Sherwood route?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Route 1 we were on.
Yeah, it's Route 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was all horse and buggy in the winter.
That's right.
I remember we went down and pulled a lot of cars out of the mud in the winter.
You remember the first car you ever had?
Well, the first car Dad had was, he had to take it in on the trade when we bought this farm out here. It was an old Overland. The old Overland, you know, one of the worst cars ever made. I know whenever we'd go to Sherwood or anything, my mother would put her walking shoes in the car because she knew we'd have to walk home, probably. Yeah.
Lots of confidence,
that
huh?
That was the first. got a Ford, little Ford panel, the old Model T, you know, that you had to pump uphill.
Yeah.
You know, use the reverse coming downhill for
yeah.
a brake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something. And I had to use the old Boone's Ferry Road at that time, you know, Slavin Road, and come up that way.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't let trucks go out to earlier.
That's right. Yeah. You remember the first radio in the family?
Yeah, we made it.
Was it a crystal set?
Two or three tubes anyway. And that was the worst thing. Those tubes cost about $6, and money was worth money in those days, you know. We was always burning the damn things out by hooking them into the 22-volt battery or something, experimenting. But it was fun, you know. You get your earphones, and heck, I remember getting Philadelphia Station, Pittsburgh, I mean,
mm-hmm.
PDQ or some darn thing, and KGO in
San Francisco?
Oakland. I think that was Oakland.
Yeah.
And KSL in Salt Lake City. And we just play with that, you know, to see how far we can get and how many stations we can get.
I suppose you got better reception at night, eh?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was it was interesting.
Did you have a telephone in the house when you first moved out here?
Yep. I don't know where it ever went. I guess I did.
Was it a grind one, winding, with a crank on it?
I don't know, everybody's on one line, or a lot of people were on one
yeah.
line. I think ours was too short and long or something like that. If you wanted to hear what the other guy was saying,
pick it up.
You knew who it was.
Yeah, ours was the long and too short.
I sure don't know what happened to it. Mm-hmm. I think it was stored up in the attic over there, and then when we was renting the place out, I think it disappeared. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Of course, Chet Garber lived over here at that time, you know. Guyberger built that house too, and he finally married a Guyberger girl, you know.
Yeah.
And I rented that for one of our hired men too, for years.
Mm-hmm. Did you know Kenneth Close?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember taking him to the hospital. I had a ruptured appendix or something. Seemed like I was running ambulance here for all one summer.
Oh, you did? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, it was in my car.
Oh.
And Mrs. Sarn and I took her to the hospital for...
Which hospital did you go to from here?
That was St. Vincent. Mm-hmm. That was the only one I knew. No, I think one summer my mother had her appendix out and Mrs. Sarn had this ovarian cyst removed. She was a good-hearted old lady, but rough talker. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, I know that. The whole family was.
Yes.
Remember when they had their steam bath?
I remember when the youngest boy was born. What the heck was her name?
I forget. I went to school with Ted.
Ted? He was the oldest one.
Mm-hmm.
I remember he was running about so high when we moved out here.
That's right.
Yeah. And, I remember whenever I'd go to town, when he'd come back, he'd be over there at the fender and say, "You got any peanutches?" I'd buy him some peanuts and bring out. He was looking where he went. Ted and Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, that was the youngest son. I remember that when he was born.
So are your brothers still living?
No, I'm the only member of the family left.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, well, I guess somebody has to be the last. Anyway, come out here, everybody. I remember Sayers and people when I worked for them. They didn't expect we'd be out here very long in chicken businesses. Nobody ever stayed in the chicken business.
Well, you were in it for a good many years, weren't you?
Well, until I retired. Sold out.
When was that?
In 66. I decided that I could make more money retiring than I was making in the chicken business. It was either get enormous, you know, everything
you have
was
to
getting
expand
bigger,
or, yeah.
And I never was interested in being a big outfit. And, but we did well with the family, raised a family.
You were in it about 40 years and more.
Yeah, from about 23 and I quit in 60. Yeah, it was over 40 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was tired of the chicken business. I never wanted to go into it anyway. I mean, it didn't mean anything to me because... But somebody had to stay here and do something, so I just built it up.
Did you have a family?
Three children, two sons. I mean, one son and two daughters. My son is a senior planner in Washington County.
Oh.
Hillsborough. He has about 20 people working under him. And my youngest daughter works out at the primate center. She's a technician. She used to work up at the medical school. She liked this other job, so she took it.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And my eldest daughter, Elizabeth, lives in Phoenix. She was married real young, 19 or something. And he spent all that time in the Army until he retired about 4 years ago. And he maybe done well in the Army. He got an education. He had charge of all the equipment in government hospitals. He'd be stationed. Well, he's a tripler up there in Hawaii for three years. And he's over in Okinawa for 3.5 years. And in Denver and in Washington, D.C. When he retired, he was in San Antonio. I'm living in Phoenix, and he's working for Phillips Electric Company, which is a big electronics company, main in Amsterdam, I think, Holland. But they install all these big scanning machines and electric stuff they use in hospitals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
X-ray machines and stuff. He's in charge of that, all the repair and all the installation. And he has about 20 people, technicians, that are doing all the work. He's just the business end of it. So.
I hope she likes the hot weather.
Oh. A week from, well, she's coming on August 8th. And she's going to stay here for a week. She does that every summer. Get cooled off.
Yeah. And do you have any grandchildren?
Yes, Nancy has one son, and he's, well, this year he'll be a junior at the University of Washington,
mm-hmm.
doing very well. And Bill has a daughter and a son. Son, of course, in high school, and the daughter's in grade school. And Elizabeth has two daughters, and they're both through college and out on their own.
Do you have any great-grandchildren?
Nope. Not yet.
Not yet. When were you married?
October 22nd, 1934.
Mm-hmm.
We were... Let's see, it was the day after Labor Day, we started building a... my wife-to-be at that time, of course, said, we're going to be married on the 22nd of October, so we got to get the house built. And I only get left 6 weeks. And my uncle built the house. He's an expert carpenter with the help of Sherburn. You remember Sherburn? He was a carpenter living down here by the school.
Sherburn?
Yeah.
No.
He was an old fellow. He lived here when we moved here, I think. Anyway, we moved in and we're married right in front of that fireplace, October 22nd. And here's where we stayed. Never changed.
Lived in this house a long time then, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I had $1,800 in the house when I moved in. I borrowed $500 from the bank, and my oldest brother loaned me $1,000, and I had $300, and I built the house. Yeah.
You expanded your operation in after you started. You added some more to it.
We didn't have any to begin with. When I quit, we had 10,000 chickens over there, hens, laying hens.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had the hatchery building. All this other stuff. Then I rented the buildings out for a few years, and that didn't work out good. And then when all this development came,
yeah,
all the property on three sides was developed, you know.
Yeah.
And there were three streets dead-end into the Filbert Orchard up there.
Hmm.
So they knew that So when I sold the filbert arch, I knew what was going to happen. They just extended those streets because it was all planned ahead.
Sure.
The reason I sold it, the people were using the orchard for picnic grounds and stuff up there, you know, throwing the garbage over into it. Yeah. I thought, well, good night, I got to get out of here. Yeah. So I sold the property. The last years I didn't run the orchard anyway. I never had anything to do with the orchard, really. I leased it out to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Let's see into another phase of your life out here, and that's the Beacon Light. A lot of people in Tualatin never heard of that and don't know what it is. Can you tell us something about it?
Well, it was built in, I'd say around 1925, somewhere in there, mm-hmm. or six, anyway. It was when they had a string of lights from Portland to San Francisco. About every 10 miles, they had a beacon light so they could fly the mail at night, you know, and, well, not just daytimes. And I don't, they tore it out about 1935. It probably wasn't there over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I remember Dad leased the land to him, you know, for $10 a year or something like that. It was absurd. It was a 60-foot tower with this revolving light and a big concrete arrow twisted, pointing towards south and east, or I mean north, deep south, pointing towards the next beacon light, mm-hmm. and it was all painted yellow.
Yeah, so they could see it from the air.
Yeah.
Who did he lease it to? Who leased the thing, do you remember?
It was the one branch of the government, whoever runs the aviation.
Oh. It was to the federal government then?
Yeah, the federal government, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In other words, they used the beacon light before they had radar.
Yeah, they didn't have it. That was the only communication they had, you see. They didn't have any of this other stuff. And when they put that in there, it's the first foundation they'd put in any light from San Francisco up here, because that was all sand up there, sandy soil. And they didn't have any trouble driving these things down into the ground, you know. They thought that was funny. It's easy to build.
Did you ever have any trouble, complaint from the neighbors because of the beacon at night?
No. No. They serviced it. Of course, they had to walk up the hill sometimes to service it because there was no gravel road up there. It was just a dirt road. Now, I don't know anybody ever complained to light. It didn't really bother any down low. It was up, mm-hmm. you know. I don't even remember shining in here or anything. But it was, I remember climbing up it one day. We had a beautiful view from up there, a 60-foot tower. Mm-hmm. And we got up there and it was windy, and I didn't know whether I was ever going to get down or not. I was scared to get down the ladder.
You remember how powerful that was? How many watts it was or anything?
It was pretty powerful. It had a big bulb, but I don't know just what the candle power was. Of course, it was magnified.
Yeah.
And it turned every, I'd say about every 10 seconds, 6 to 10 seconds probably, made a mm-hmm. complete circle.
I understand you could see it from quite a distance. Where's the furthest you ever saw it from?
Well, Mount Hood, the furthest I saw it. Mm-hmm. That isn't the only one you could see, though. You could see others, too, because this was the last one.
Before Portland?
Portland, yeah.
Yeah. Did it show pretty well?
Yeah, I could count. I forget how many we could count from up there in the mountain that night, but several going south.
Must have been a pretty clear night.
Oh, it was. Boy, it was a beautiful night. That's when you had to, when you climb Mount Hood, you started at government camp. You know, you didn't start halfway up the mountain like they do now.
Yeah.
So we walked up the mountain from government camp, and then we rested a while, and we got on the top by daylight. See the sunrise.
You climbed at night.
Yeah. Well, it's really easier because daytimes the snow might get soft, you know.
What time of year was it?
It was in either July or August, and I don't remember which. Mm-hmm. I only climbed it twice.
It was in the summertime, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we didn't have any guide or anything. One of the kids had been up before, and we just walked up.
I suppose you had to pack in a lot of stuff.
No, we just took a little lunch along. I remember drinking some water, getting some water up there at Crater Rock, you know, that's warm.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that sulfur would make you sick, and I drank some of it. Yeah. So. Yeah, we went up there in real good time.
I remember when I used to walk home from school, that beacon light helped me a lot, because if I walked just right, I was always stepping in the light. I'd never have to, even if it wasn't foggy, it was fine, but otherwise, I just worked right.
I think it was turned about every 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
6 seconds is quite a long time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Oh, maybe it's 10, I don't know. Anyway, they serviced it every month. I don't remember whether it ever went out or not.
Mm-hmm. You remember when the mail planes used to fly through in the daytime?
I don't recall them specifically, no.
Generally, around 11 o'clock in the morning, one used to come by. It was a biplane.
Oh. Yeah, I don't recall that. I remember my first plane trip was the Rankin's place down there in Swan Island. They had an airport, you know?
Ed Rankin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Lawrence, my younger brother, and I went in there and flew out over the ranch.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it cost us $15 or something. That was the first plane I'd ever been in.
Well, that was a trip, yeah. You were out in the open, your hair flying.
Yeah.
Have goggles on it.
Yeah, I swooped down over the ranch, you know. Boy, that was a thrill.
That's something a lot of people don't realize, too. The Swan Island used to be the airport.
Yeah. And then they got those three-motored tin Lizzies, you know?
Yeah. Your workhorses.
Yeah. But the first, the commercial plane I ever flew was in 46, DC-3, I flew east, and that was the hardest trip I ever took.
Mm-hmm.
And all those thermals in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was so sick. Oh.
They bounce up and down.
It was all right going east, but coming back, and when we hit that, everybody on the plane was sick, and even the stewardess, and every time they'd stop off, they'd get another bunch of cans to heave up. It was horrible.
Yeah.
I
don't know whether this will ever happen or not. This goes to the Tallinn Historical Society, as you know. And maybe somewhere, sometime, somebody, if they ever want to write the history of this area, might want to refer to some of these things for notes or memories or something like that. Is it all right with you if they ever use any of this material?
Well, I don't think we've said anything that hurt anybody, is it? Have we?
Oh, no.
I never want any publicity for anything, that's one thing.
Well, it won't be that. It'll just be people looking for historical facts, you know.
That's okay, I guess.
Okay, thank you.